Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you guys are with us. I'm going to play a little bit of an audio from last night. I don't like to bring the audio of TV shows onto radio because we have so much information to cover. We don't need to really duplicate too much. But yet this story is so egregious, I want to share at least a little bit of the audio with you. And then I'm going to bring on Leo Holman, who's already on hold listening, because it actually fits with an article Leo wrote this morning. Leo did not know about this story that I'm about to bring to you now. I called him about it this morning. He said, well, that's ironic. I just wrote a story that fits very well with what you just told me, Brannon. Well, what it is a police officer in Alabama who is now sitting in jail for 25 years for following his training and doing self-defense. And apparently the district attorney, I think it's in Huntsville, Alabama, there's bad blood between the Huntsville Police Department and the district attorney, we're told. And apparently it's one of these DAs again that's giving us real trouble to law and order. Yet this young man, this young police officer, was following his training, according to his wife, who is also a police officer in a different department. And his police captain, police chief, has just retired, has been standing behind him, the department standing behind him, that he actually did what was in his training. He was involved in self-defense and the defense of two of his officers, buddies and colleagues, when a man claimed that he was going to commit suicide, and they rushed to the house. And the wife, as you heard or last night, for those who listened, the man eventually turned his gun toward the officer after being warned over and over not to do that, to drop the gun, put the gun down. And this goes to the issue again of self-defense, criminalizing police officers that do their job, setting again the tenet so that good people don't want to be officers. I mean, there's just so much about it. Now, there is a phone number we're going to give out today for the Attorney General of Alabama, and we want you to call and be respectful and kind if you do want to call and ask him to review the case. But this is one of those stories that grabs you in the gut. This is a young gal. You can see the full interview on my website at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Her name is Keelan, and she, like I said, is a police officer herself. This is a couple that had only been married about 2 years when this happened in 2018, and then he was finally sentenced last year for 25 years. And yet major information was suppressed. Major information was suppressed that many believe would have caused the jury to say, not guilty. All right, here is a little bit of that. And then I want to bring in Leo Holman because it fits with his article today. Watch for those on television. Listen for those on radio. Here we go. Your story is really heartbreaking. I'm going to let you tell it. You yourself are also a police officer, correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right, so, and your husband's a police officer?
Yes.
But tonight he's sitting in jail with a sentence of 25 years, correct?
Yes, he's in prison right now for 25 years, incorrectly.
All right, tell our audience your story, please.
So my husband and I, his name is Ben Darby, we work for a different police department. He worked for Huntsville Police Department, was a proud Huntsville police officer. And we both started in 2016. So by 2018, he had a call for service while he was a Huntsville police officer at work that day on shift. And the call was a man had called 911, and he told the dispatcher, "I have a gun. I'm going to blow my brains out. The front door's open." And the dispatcher tried to get him some help. He hung up the phone, said he didn't want it, and the dispatcher sent two units. One of those units asked if there was anyone else who would be able to help out, and so Ben was available, and he went to go help them. On a call like that, a suicidal call or a man with a gun call, officers are trained nationwide to surround the house and call the person out of the house because we don't know what's going on inside the house. We can better deal with whatever the situation is when we're outside in the open and we can see what's going on. So Ben was in that mindset going to that call. And when he arrived on scene, he grabbed his shotgun, thinking that they were going to set a perimeter and call the man out of the house, as they were trained to do. And when he got out of his vehicle and started approaching the house, he didn't see his other two officers outside. So he started to run up to the house, and he sees a female officer inside the house with no cover or concealment, and her gun is pointed at the ground, and she's 20 feet away from a man with a gun. And then the other officer who was there was standing in the doorway, which is a death trap in essence. And so Ben saw very quickly that the situation was going downhill. The man who had called for help was told 5 times to put the gun down, and he wasn't listening to the female officer. And the female officer was not able to clearly communicate with the man. His name is Jeff Parker. So Ben walked into the house and took over the situation. He told Parker to drop the gun, and Parker said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And Ben said, "I'm not going to tell you again. Put the gun down." And as he had said that, Parker had moved his hand with the weapon towards Ben, and Ben had to stop the threat against his life and the other two officers' lives that day. And unfortunately, Mr. Parker lost his life that day, but he couldn't follow directions. And the officers' lives were in a major threat from being injured and or killed.
Was this man wanting suicide by cop?
Yes, we believe so. His neighbor, so fast forward to trial, we had trial back in 2021, May of 2021, and his neighbor had several conversations with Parker regarding how much Parker hated police, how he had a plan to get a police officer into his house and to kill him, how he was a white supremacist and just hated police officers. And so we had called on this neighbor to speak in defense for Ben as a witness, and the judge and the district attorney office said, "No, that's hearsay. We're not going to let you testify, but you can testify to the court record, but you're not allowed to testify to the jury of 12 people who are going to decide if Ben Darby is guilty of murder or not."
Okay, wait a minute. Help me out there as a layperson. What does that mean? So the jury couldn't hear that, but the court record could. How would that then be used in his defense?
Well, if the jury was allowed to hear his testimony, I believe that the jury wouldn't have convicted him that day.
But why? I mean, is there was it hearsay? Number one, and number two, how would you then get it in front of the jury? Because you said they wouldn't want to put it into the preview of the jury, but into the court record. Is that right?
Yes, sir. So it's not hearsay because, like, right now we're having a direct conversation. So if one of your listeners wanted to talk about the conversation that I'm having with you right now, that would be a hearsay account. But if you or I talk to someone about our conversation, it wouldn't be hearsay.
He's a direct witness.
You and I are directly involved. So same case. The neighbor and Mr. Parker had a direct conversation between each other. And the neighbor went to go testify about the conversation that he had with Mr. Parker. So it's not hearsay. It's a direct witness testimony. And the prosecution objected and said it was hearsay. And the judge said, "Yeah, I'm going to go with that. You're not allowed to tell it to the jury."
Wouldn't the judge have been a judge long enough to know what you just explained to me? Why it's not hearsay?
I would think so. The judge, this case, my husband's case, was her first criminal law case. All her cases before that had to do with school board issues, stuff within the school board court realm. So this was her first criminal law case, and there were several things that she did not allow to happen that should have been granted. So because the jury wasn't allowed to hear that testimony, along with several other key pieces of evidence, they couldn't hear why that would have exonerated Ben. So she allowed it to go on the court record for if and when we had to go to an appeal, which is where we're currently at. So those judges can hear and read through the transcript and see that testimony. But the original made that decision, weren't allowed to hear it.
I'm going to have you say that last two sentences again because you broke up for a minute, please.
Okay. The information that the neighbor had, the jury wasn't allowed to hear it, but it was allowed to be put on the court record. So the significance of that is because it's on the court record, now that we're appealing it, the judges that are now looking at Ben's case can see it. But during the actual criminal trial, the jury members weren't allowed to hear it, which would make any person wonder, well, if it can go on the court record for if they have to go through an appeal process, why can't the jury hear this information?
Yeah. So what about your husband's police department? What did their own internal investigation reveal?
Yeah, so they did an incident review board. It's common practice for them to do so. And they reviewed Ben's actions, the actions of the other two officers that day, and they came to the conclusion that Ben acted correctly according to Huntsville Police Department policy and procedure, state and local law, and federal law. They found that the other two officers did not follow departmental policy in dealing with a threat against their own life. And because of that, those two officers had to go through remedial training. Ben did not have to go through any extra training, any remedial training for what he did that day. The other officers had to. From the beginning, Huntsville Police Department backed Ben and said that he did exactly as he was supposed to.
And so tonight, you're the chief police of that police department backed your husband.
Yes, he's now retired. He just retired this past spring, but the department at large still supports him, as well as the mayor and the city council.
At his sentencing, were any of these people allowed to talk?
Yes, we were only allowed to have a handful of people. We did have a lieutenant from the department speak on Ben's behalf, as well as myself, his dad, our pastor, and then a childhood friend of his all spoke for him at sentencing.
And they gave him 25 years.
Yes, they gave him 25 years for doing exactly what he was trained to do and found to not be in violation of.
Are these prosecutors progressive George Soros types? What's going on here?
So there's bad blood between Huntsville Police Department and the Madison County District Attorney's Office. And there had been, before Ben's trial, there had been five officer-involved shootings, one of them being very similar in circumstance to the situation that Ben had faced that day. And none of those officers were charged. None of those officers went through what my family is currently going through. And I'm not saying that as they should have, because they were cleared and they did everything they were supposed to do, so that they shouldn't have to go through that. But I don't understand what Madison County District Attorney's Office has against Ben Darby. He did exactly as he was trained, and they have it out for him.
When was he sentenced?
He was sentenced in May 7th. He was sentenced August 20th, 2021. The incident occurred April 3rd, 2018. The three-year time lapse of that is because of the court process, and then everything shut down during COVID. So during that time, the judge issued a gag order, so no one was allowed to talk about it. So what I'm doing tonight with you, Brandon, I wasn't allowed to do for the past now 4 years, because if I did, I would go to jail.
All right, we're going to hold it right there, come back, finish up hearing from her, and then go to Leo Holman. How many of you are getting a sick feeling in your stomach right now? So when we come back, I'm going to give you a couple websites. I'm going to give you the phone number of the Attorney General of Alabama. And if you can be respectful, and I know most of you will be, and ask him to review the case, that would be very helpful. So get a pen, get a paper. We'll be back with Leo Holman as well.
The 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. Tickets are now available, and just like last year, it will sell out this year as well. We only have seating for 1,000 people. Filled up last year in 2021, and 2022 is sure to do the same. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Join us for the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. The resort is right on the water. It's all inclusive. You come there and you stay and your meals are there and you register for our conference. And we have a great lineup this year. Keynote speakers in person will include Dr. Peter McCullough, internist and cardiologist, an expert on pandemics and bioweapons. We'll have with us CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, expert on technocracy and globalism, Annie Cyrus, born in Iran and expert on the Middle East, Dr. Lee Merritt, former military surgeon and expert on bioweapons, Dr. Andy Woods, pastor, lawyer, and also expert on Bible prophecy, Terry Turchi, former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, author and journalist, an expert on illegal immigration and the border crisis, Leo Holman, Karen Kingston, she is a bioweapons analyst. This is the incredible lineup. There's also the option of the Thursday night banquet concert, and then also the luncheon on Saturday, the WVW Foundation luncheon on Saturday. Now, these things on Thursday night and the luncheon on Saturday are optional. You don't have to attend those if you don't want to, but you can. And you can get your tickets along with your general seating or your priority seating tickets for the conference itself at WVWTVstore.com. All the details are there, WVWTVstore.com. Be sure to call the resort, use that promo code WRLD, or just say Worldview Weekend, or the code WRLD, and you will get the weekend rate when you book your room reservations at the Tantara Margaritaville Resort, right there on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks, 1,150 miles of shoreline, rolling hills of the Ozarks. It's gorgeous. So don't delay. It will sell out. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. If you prefer to order your tickets over the phone, you can call Melissa and or text her at 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. If you prefer to order your tickets over the phone. Otherwise, WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Let me give you the phone number for the Attorney General of Alabama and ask him, and you're here in a minute. She has had one conversation with the Attorney General. So if you are so inclined to ask him to please look at the what we believe is a miscarriage of justice against Ben Darby. Please, Mr. Attorney General, please look at the Ben Darby case. The number for the Attorney General of Alabama is 334-242-7300, 334-242-7300. Again, area code 334-242-7300. Please be respectful, be courteous. We're just asking the Attorney General to consider reviewing this case. And to our knowledge, he's not made any comments or spoken to the issue. We have no idea where he stands on this. And we're, as taxpaying Americans, just simply asking for him to look at this case. So again, please put that number back up there one more time, please. 334-242-7300, 334-242-7300. I think they also have a website, Stand With Darby, D-A-R-B-Y, standwithdarby.com. Verify that, Logan, if you would, if you don't mind, or Justin, standwithdarby.com. All right, let's go back to his wife, who's also a police officer, Keelan Darby, and then we're going to go to Leo Holman.
I've been on several podcasts, Andy Stump's Cleared Hot podcast I was on. I've been on a couple law enforcement podcasts, and recently I've been on some radio interviews. I'm slowly getting the word out with the help from the Pipe Hitter Foundation. They have partnered with us and have been a godsend to help us get Ben's story out because, honestly, Brandon, no one knows about Ben Darby. And yeah,
I've never heard it.
Officers nationwide, this is going to affect not just Huntsville Police Department and officers in Alabama, but this is going to be a nationwide thing.
How does this impact you? How does this impact you? You're an officer, so when you go to work tomorrow, how does this impact you? You find yourself in this same situation, and you hesitate, or any of your colleagues hesitate, they're dead.
Yeah, we actually had a call similar a couple weeks ago, and they had sent one of my guys to it that I supervise, and I called him, and I said, do not go to that house. Meet me at this place. We're going to make up a plan, and we're going to go through with it, you know, a certain way. And thankfully, everything worked out. We were able to call the man out and get him the help that he needed and not have to go into a room with someone with a gun and have to face ultimately taking their life or not.
Did your husband step in? Was he a ranking officer when he arrived or what?
No. So the other two officers did have more time on the job before Ben did. But just because you have years of experience doesn't translate to your competency of the job. And Ben and I had actually just gone through a training through an FBI course that taught action versus reaction. And one of the scenarios that we went through was the scenario that Ben faced that day. And the scenario, it ended out where you were supposed to shoot the bad guy. Because force was being used against you. And in Ben's situation, the guy had the gun to his head. And when Ben said, I'm not going to tell you again, drop the gun, he shrugged his shoulders and the gun moved forward towards Ben. And Ben stopped that threat against his life.
So
it's a split second decision. And if you don't act fast enough, you're not going to be able to react quick enough to that.
Where is your husband now? He's in Alabama prison?
He's in an Alabama prison, yes, sir.
What are the conditions like for him? What's his safety like, being a police officer?
They're horrible. He is in protective custody, so I'm thankful for that. So that means he's in there with other police officers who have committed crimes, who have truly committed crimes. Again, Ben has not. But he is in there among other police officers or like state officials, people of a more VIP status. But there are other people in there from general population who they have to be put in there to help protect their own life from being taken in general pop. So I was talking to him on the phone the other day. There's rats in there, mice. They get fed horrible food. When he first got taken away, he would go days without a shower. He was given a shower, I think, every 4 days. And he was either given, you can either call your wife for 15 minutes or you can take a 15-minute shower and it's straight back to your cell. They're inhumane conditions. And it breaks my heart because he doesn't belong there. He's not a murderer by any means, and he's not guilty of any crime. He's an innocent man in prison, and until his appeal comes back, he has to sit day for day. And I'm at home by myself trying to fight for him to get him the freedom that he deserves.
And how long have you guys been married?
Just 5 years. We'll be 6 years in October.
No children?
No children. No. We would like to, but this happened, you know, and we didn't want to, just in case he did go away, we didn't want to have to deal with – I didn't want to deal with raising a kid by myself.
So this happened 2 years into your marriage?
Yeah, this has been a majority of our marriage.
So how long is this appeal process going to take?
We don't know. That's probably one of the hardest parts about this appeal is that the judges – so right now it's at the Court of Criminal Appeals in Alabama. It's a board of – I believe it's 7 judges, it may be 5, but it's up to those people to make a decision. They have no time constraint. So they can make a decision tomorrow, or they can make a decision next Easter, or they can make a decision in 5 years. They have no time constraint on them to make a decision. And that's so frustrating because we were told you have to get your paperwork in and you have to get everything filed so they can look at the case. And then once they get it all, it's hurry up and wait on them to make a decision about Ben Darby. So until they make a decision, he's stuck.
So what about the attorney general, your governor? I mean, have any of them seen this? I mean, this is a state charge, not a federal charge, right?
Right. So the attorney general is Steve Marshall, and he's actually now the prosecutor over Ben's case. So I have reached out to him. Ethically, he can't talk to me about the case because he's now the prosecutor. But I did. I saw him at a banquet one night, and I had made myself known to him, introduced myself, and told him, I said, Mr. Attorney General, I need you to help my husband get out of prison because he's in there for the wrong reason.
Was he aware of your husband's story, case?
I don't know if he was or not at the time. I would like to think he was, because whenever the decision came down for him to be convicted, the case immediately went to Steve Marshall. When I was speaking to Mr. Marshall, I explained to him how I was a police officer too, and this doesn't just affect me personally because Ben's my husband, but this affects me professionally because I'm going to go to work tomorrow night and I might face the same exact call that he was on or something very similar. And now I have to think, well, if I shoot this guy and trying to defend my life, am I going to go to prison too?
Yeah.
And that was a shockwave across North Alabama. I can guarantee you that when Ben was convicted on May 7th, 2021, policing stopped. Everyone who was proactive stopped being proactive because they just saw an innocent man go be sent off to prison. And when I told the Attorney General that, I could see him understand the importance of this case.
What about your governor? Your governor could just pardon him, or, you know, what's the other word, where they act as though he served his time?
Right. I know his end of service. Yes, mm-hmm. sir. Unfortunately, the Alabama governor does not have the power to pardon.
Really?
It goes through the Board of Pardons and Parole, or the district attorney and the judge over the case. Well, our district attorney, Rob Broussard, and the judge sent him to prison, so they're not going to pardon him. So we're trying to get the pardon and paroles board to look at the case, but there's so much that goes into that as well. So I'm hoping that socially I can get people aware about my husband and the injustice that was proven against him, taken against him, and hopefully people will rally behind us, as just like so many people have, and help get his name cleared. The Pipe Hitter Foundation has been a huge support to us so far, along with many other organizations, to try and get Ben cleared and his freedom restored.
I'm going to hold it right there for a second. I'm bringing on Leo Holman. Leo, I want to play another little clip here from her that I'm going to queue up. But what are your thoughts about your hearing, Leo?
Oh my gosh, there's so much going on there, Brandon. It sounds like just an unbelievable travesty of justice, made even worse by COVID, with them not being able to appeal for like 2 years while he sits there rotting in a jail that's treating him inhumanely. And the situation, as for the case itself, it sounds like he was dealt an incredibly bad hand by his two fellow officers when he arrived on the scene. They were not following department protocol on how to deal with a situation like that, for whatever reason, we don't know. And so he was left with a mess on his hands. He goes in to try to deal with that as best he can, and the nightmare scenario unfolds right there in front of him with a man with a gun turning it on him, makes a split-second decision, as his wife described so eloquently there, and had to put down the threat. If he hadn't done that, he probably wouldn't be alive today, and those other two officers probably would have put him down, so he wouldn't have been alive either. So, you know, there's not much you can say about it other than it's a complete travesty of justice.
And it really goes to the issue of why so many people today don't want to be police officers anymore and are quitting en masse.
Exactly, and it's why we have thousands, tens of thousands of openings that go unfilled every year at police departments and sheriff's departments across the country.
I mean, would you want any of your relatives or family members serving as a police officer in today's environment?
I would, let's just say I would recommend against that if any relative of mine or even a friend of mine asked for my advice.
Yeah, here's the clip I just found. It. I want to back it up just a tad. See if I can back it up just a tad and play this little clip right here. Here we go. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Part of the language on that is the officer does not have to wait for the bead of the weapon to be pointed at them if they feel like their life or another person's life is in imminent danger. Ben felt like his life and the other officers' lives that day were in danger because the gun was moving from Mr. Parker's head towards them. He didn't, according to that case law, the gun doesn't have to be pointed at you. And several other case laws that weren't allowed to be told to the jury. If the jury was able to hear those case laws and to hear the neighbor's testimony and to hear Officer Moore's testimony, I can guarantee you he would not be in prison today.
So how long does it take from for a gun to go from this position to shooting an officer? How many seconds?
It's this quick. You tell me when I'm going to shoot you. Brandon, go ahead and tell me when.
Go.
Bang your head. I beat you. I'm going to beat you in time because I know I have the upper hand because I know when I'm going to shoot you.
Right.
You have no idea. And Ben was able to pick it up from here to here. You know, and I'm thankful that he was, so he didn't get shot or the other officers there didn't get shot that day.
Did anyone get to give that kind of
And no one got to give that kind of testimony in court. Can you believe that? I just asked her that. Her answer is no. This seemed like they did everything they could to keep the jury from hearing the truth about other case law, what she just demonstrated right there with her hand to her head and then saying, go. I said, go. She says, boom, you're dead. Because I know when you're – she said, I know when I'm going to shoot. You don't. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we have just received a new shipment of freeze-dried food, and we have a new website where you can purchase it. It's WVWTVstore.com. That's the new website, WVWTVstore.com. Again, WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVWTVstore.com. It has a 25-year shelf life. All the details are there, 2,000 calories a day. Great description of exactly each entree, what you're getting. We have the 2-week plan, we have the 4-week plan, we have the 3-month plan, 6-month plan, and many of you have asked for a plan that's 1 year, a 1-year food supply. That's what I have. And many of you have asked for that. We added it. It's all available now at WVWTVstore.com. Now, I do want to tell you, on some of it, we're eating some of the cost of the shipping. In other words, we're not charging you for some of these plans, what the shipping actually cost us. We're going to go ahead and eat the cost of some of the shipping. And if you want to know why shipping is expensive, well, for like the 1-year plan, that's a lot of buckets. That's a lot of weight. So again, you need to know that we're not charging you what the full price of the shipping is because, again, we're trying to be reasonable here. Look, we want to offer you this service. We appreciate your buying it from us. It's a big part of our general operating budget. We know you could buy it somewhere else. But when you buy it from us, you're also helping to support WVW Broadcast Network. Now, again, as we get into the fall, there's talk of pandemics and rolling blackouts and World War III and all the things that are going on in this world. The demand for freeze-dried food is going back up. We've actually had times and periods where the company says to us, we can't provide you with anything for right now. You're going to have to wait a few weeks. In some cases, they've even said a few months. We had to flip to another company because the company we were originally with stopped making it available to us as a distributor for months. So we have a great company we're working with. We appreciate them. We're getting shipments. But folks, when the demand kicks in, we can't guarantee you we can get it. If we can't get it, we can't offer it to you. So I would urge you to order while we can get it to you. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. All the details are there. If you prefer to order over the phone, you can call 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also text Melissa at that number and give her your name and your number and say, hey, call me when you can. She's swamped, folks, so be patient with her. She's absolutely swamped. But you can text her at 901-825-0652 or call her. Better to text her if you can, and then she'll call you as soon as she's able to. 901-825-0652. Otherwise, place your order at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, while we have it and while we can ship it to you. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website's worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. I want you to hear what she goes on to say.
And Ben was able to pick it up from here to here, you know, and I'm thankful that he was, so he didn't get shot, or the other officers there didn't get shot that day.
Did anyone get to give that kind of testimony, like what we just did? What we just did, was anyone allowed to do that during the trial?
That was not allowed, no.
Why?
A lot, because why wasn't everything else allowed? Because it would have exonerated him.
Has our court system completely...
I should let her answer that.
Fallen
one.
Apart in this country?
It's getting there. It's getting there. I lost a lot of faith in the court system the day that he was convicted.
Why would it...
All right, I'll stop right there. You can watch the full interview at WVWTV.com. But you hear she said it wasn't allowed because it would have exonerated him. It seems like everything that would have exonerated him was not allowed by the district attorney and thus the judge. The judge would agree with the district attorney, apparently. Leo?
Yes, I mean, how much you want to bet, Brandon, that the gentleman, I use that term loosely, who attempted to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh does not get anywhere near 25 years. So I do believe that our justice system has been flipped on its head, and it is now all about prosecuting the good guys and exonerating the bad, the complete opposite of true justice.
Now, they just completely unleashed Hinckley. They just completely unleashed Hinckley after, 41 years or whatever it is. He's completely set free, no restrictions, no nothing. Is the message there? It's okay because he targeted a conservative? Because you think if he had targeted a liberal president, you think there'd be the same thing?
No, I think he would still be behind bars. And then remember the case of the McCluskeys in St. Louis.
Yes, I talked to him. He's actually going to be on my show tonight, my TV show tonight.
Okay, yeah, Mark and Patricia McCloskey, they were threatened by a roving mob that went through their property in St. Louis, broke the iron gate. One guy brandished a loaded pistol magazine, meaning to send the message that he had a pistol. Don't know if he did or not, but that was the message. And so this couple went in the house, didn't shoot anybody. They just came out with their weapons, and they were charged with a felony. So,
by the way, now they're on a year probation by the Supreme Court of Missouri for their law license. So they got to keep their nose clean for a year. Can you believe that?
Yes, and they also had their guns taken away, I believe. So
that's right.
Their life was made a living hell for 3 years, two and a half, 3 years, and it's not over yet. Like you said, I don't believe they got their guns back. I don't believe they have their law licenses back. And all for going outside on their own property with legal guns that they legally owned and to chase away a threatening mob.
That is threatening to kill them, kill his wife, kill their dog, burn down their house. Tell me how this fits with your new article at leohoman.com. Here it is, if you want to play it, show on the screen. It's Justin Trudeau informs his subjects, you have no right to self-defense. How kind of interesting that this came up today when I called you this morning. I didn't know you were working on this article, and you didn't know about my interview last night, but they fit together, don't they?
They absolutely do, Brandon. I think we make a mistake if we look at this case of Ben Darby strictly in the context of the fact that he was a police officer and, you know, its impact on police officers. That is important, and I don't want to take away from that one bit. But there's also the bigger issue here that involves self-defense. Ben Darby tried to defend himself. It doesn't matter from this perspective if he's a police officer or not. He had a threat presented to him, a man with a loaded gun getting ready to point it at him, and he dealt with it the way anyone who was fully cognizant of the situation would have dealt with it. It could have been another police officer. It could have been a civilian meeting some armed person on the street. And this article I wrote deals with that issue. Justin Trudeau last week commented in an interview that Canadians do not have a right to self-defense with a firearm. He said that firearms in Canada are not meant for that. firearms in Canada are only for hunting and target sport shooting. That's all. And only then, he said, when you apply to get a gun and you say that you want to use it for hunting or target shooting, he said you will undergo a rigorous background check that takes a long time to make sure that that's how you plan to use it. So you can't just at 50 or 60 years old say, I want to become a hunter. They would probably turn you down and say, well, you've never hunted before. Why do you need this gun? You must want it for self-defense. That's not allowed in Canada. And Joe Biden, Trudeau's comments, which I have on video embedded in the article, with Joe Biden's comments on gun control, he has made very similar statements.
Do you want me to play those?
To say that our Second Amendment rights are only for hunting.
Do you want me to play those clips, Leo?
Yes, it would be great if you could.
Okay, here we go.
And there are debates, and we have a culture where the difference is guns can be used for hunting or for sport shooting in Canada, and there's lots of gun owners, and they're mostly law-respecting and law-abiding. But you can't use a gun for self-protection in Canada. That's not a right that you have in the Constitution or anywhere else. If you try and buy a gun and say it's for self-protection, no, you don't get that. You get it for hunting. You can get it for sport shooting. You can take it to the range. No problem, as long as you go through our rigorous background checks. But there's a difference around the culture. And one of the things that we're seeing with the debate in the States is you get more and more of the American-style, you know, right to carry, self-defense arguments filtering up through the you know, the usual more right-wing communications channel.
We're introducing legislation to implement a national freeze on handgun ownership. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy...
All right, so interesting, huh? And by the way, you and I on Worldview Report are reporting that the government is going to – seems as though they're working to make sure that there's not any ammunition, that we're going to start having a major problem for people even getting ammunition.
Yes, Brandon, I think that was the other point I was going to hit on here. You read my mind. Even if the Biden administration or some subsequent administration is never able to ban AR-15s or AK-47s or 30-round magazines, if they're never able to pull that off like we know they want to, they can still infringe upon our Second Amendment rights, and they're going to do it through two ways. Criminalizing self-defense, where people like Ben Darby go to defend themselves and shoot a criminal who's getting ready to attack them or shoot them or knife them. The criminal walks free, and you go to jail. You get prosecuted. That's what we saw with the McCloskey case. So criminalize self-defense and then also dry up the ammunition supply. And the Biden administration is working on both of those fronts right now.
LeoHoman.com, Leo Homan, H-O-H-M-A-N-N, LeoHoman.com. Leo, let's transition a little bit. You and I were also talking this morning about where we both feel things are going. You and I are both getting greatly concerned. We're now even seeing some people that would probably be deemed as progressives, certainly Democrats. They're starting to sound like right-wingers talking about inflation, hyperinflation, the collapse of the U.S. economy. Are you you and I are reading the same reports because we've talked about them. Tell our audience your thoughts on this, please.
Yeah, they're hitting us hard. I think they want to slowly, gradually deconstruct the economy. I think they've been working on that ever since Biden took office. It really started under COVID, even before he took office, you know, when Dr. Fauci and Mike Pence were allowed. They started with the 2 weeks to slow the spread and shutting down small businesses. You know, it's for the good of everyone's health, right? And then things started to come back a little bit as President Trump wised up and stopped listening to Fauci. But then Biden took office, and immediately what do? They shut down pipelines. They start printing money. They start sending checks to people for not working. All of these things cause inflation. And Biden is trying to say that it's Vladimir Putin's inflation, trying to put it off on him when everybody knows that the inflation started well before Putin invaded the Ukraine, and that inflation is caused not by wars halfway around the world so much that it could amplify it, sure, but the core fundamental reason for inflation is when you have a government printing too much money, and then you have too much money chasing too few goods and services, and it drives up the cost of everything.
Look at this headline at worldviewreport.com. Globalist victory, first climate lockdowns announced in France. Rare Foundations reporting that because it would be so terribly hot, France bans outdoor events. People are no longer allowed to think and decide for themselves, but need a wise and good state to tell them whether they can go outside. In France, World Economic Forum young global leader Macron was recently confirmed as president in an allegedly fair and democratic vote. Undeterred, he continues with Klaus Schwab's globalist agenda. And in parts of France, around 104 degrees Fahrenheit are measured. That is enough to patronize citizens who apparently cannot take to the streets without the help of President Macron, who is loyal to the WEF. All of this, of course, is part of the climate change agenda. So here we go, the first shutdown over climate change.
Yeah, well, in a sense, they're doing the same thing here in a more sneaky way, Brandon. By driving gasoline prices up to $5 and $6 a gallon, what are they doing? They're forcing people to stay home in a sort of climate backdoor climate lockdown. I know myself. I'm not running out to the store. I'm not running out here and there like I used to for every little errand. I'm staying home, and I'm consolidating my errands like once or twice a week.
Here's another headline, Leo. Could Texas become an independent nation? State GOP calls for legislature to vote next season on secession. Whoa. And, of course, they just voted that Biden is an illegitimate president over the weekend, the Texas GOP.
They did. That was a shot fired across the bow right there. I don't think that it's going to make any impact I don't think it's going to actually happen, let me say that. But I think it sends a message. It's not going to happen anytime soon anyway. But I think it sends a very important message to the corporate mainstream media, to the Democrat Marxist Socialist Party, and even to the globalist rhinos who work with the Democrat Marxist Socialists. It sends a message that there's only so much we're going to take here, and we'll let you guess where that line is, but you're playing with fire.
Are we headed for a civil war, Leo? I asked you this before. I'm going to ask you again.
I think that is what the globalists want. I don't know if they'll be successful in driving us towards that civil war, but my goodness, they are pushing for it, Brandon. You can see it. Everything is divided along racial lines, along sexual identity, along economic lines, and the COVID, you know, dividing people along that, as well as with the vaccine passports. They are stoking it. They're stoking it hard. Now they're talking about taking people's guns away. They're pushing all the right buttons to stoke a civil war. Whether they'll be, I think that's what they want. Whether it'll be successful or not remains to be seen.
1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. My guest, Leo Holman of leoholman.com. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. When I come back, I would like to ask you, Leo, real quick about former governor of Missouri, Eric Greitens, and his ad about hunting rhinos. We will not play it here. I will not play it. I won't play it on my shows, on TV, nor play it on radio, because I don't want to be legally dragged into this, because I think if someone goes and does something dumb with what he's just said and done in that ad, people are going to be in trouble.
In March of 2022, Biden signed an executive order dealing with cryptocurrencies. The Federal Reserve and the Secretary of the Treasury are all talking about America moving to digital currencies. Many nations are now talking about moving to digital currency. My friends, I've been warning folks for years that when they go to a digital currency combined with social credit scores, they'll be able to turn you off, turn off your bank account, just like that. We saw recently in Canada where they implemented emergency powers and began to seize the bank accounts of people that simply were doing peaceful protesting in favor of freedom and liberty. We already know that in America, we who are patriotic conservative Christians have been deemed domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and letting our school boards know we don't want our children taught Marxism under the guise of critical race theory. We don't want the mandated mask onto our children. We don't want mandated vaccines. And yet, that has many labeled by the FBI as potential or actually domestic terrorists. We now know that the World Economic Forum, openly in their own documents, is calling for a digital currency and digital ID for everyone in the world. And we know the Biden regime is fully on board. They openly state that your digital identity will be tied to social credit scores and your ability to get a loan will be tied to that information. Why would you be under the thumb of the globalists and the elite when you already know what it is they're saying about you and what they're doing in America and around the world? Why would you leave yourself vulnerable to them turning off your account, leaving you helpless? My friends, I believe this is where precious metals come in. I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And for years, I've been advising my audience to take seriously becoming educated on the issue of precious metals, and particularly numismatic. Many people don't even know what numismatic coins are. They're coins that are 1933 and older, and by law, they're private. It's a great way, I believe, for people to store their wealth, not to make money, but to protect your money as a hedge against inflation. If you want to get a free report with no obligation, I urge you to call my friend Wes Peters. I've been working with Swiss America as a sponsor of our organization and conferences for over 15 years. Wes is a retired Marine. You can text him your name and number, and he'll send you the packet of information, no obligation. You don't even have to call him. You can simply text his cell phone at 602-558-8585. Give him your mailing address. Say, I want the free packet of information Brandon talked about, and it'll be on its way. Just text him your name and address to 602-558-8585. Then after you get the packet of information, go through it, and when you're ready to have your questions answered, you can call Wes back. That number again to text your name and address to get the free packet of information that's no obligation is 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Don't you think you've been given plenty of warning for what's coming? Isn't it time for a prudent man, a wise man, to take refuge?
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Before we go to the phone lines, what do you think of what you're hearing? I've seen the ad by Eric Greitens, the former governor of Missouri, now running for U.S. Senate. I'm going to actually interview Mark Michalowski about it tonight, who's also running for U.S. Senate in Missouri. I think it's bad taste for what's going on in our culture and climate today, particularly with the threat of taking guns, red flag laws. It doesn't seem like to me, it doesn't seem like the right thing to do. It's not smart. It's not the kind of thing you would have seen Ronald Reagan or I think any statesman doing. I just think it's really bad taste, him kicking in the door with a SWAT team going in, talking about hunting rhinos. And I'm told that you can at least at one point go to his website and get a license for hunting rhinos. I think this is really, really bad taste. And you let someone do something, some nut job go do something, and I don't know how this isn't incitement or terroristic threat, although I don't think anyone's named in the ad. I just think he's walking a fine legal line. I'm not an attorney, my opinion, but I think in this climate, this is not the way Republicans should be behaving. What are your thoughts?
I think you're right, Brandon. I have not seen the ad personally. I've heard about it. This part about the SWAT team just now caught me off guard. I did not know it went that far. That does sound ridiculous if he had that type of a visual to go along with the audio of, quote, hunting rhinos, unquote. So, yeah, I would definitely agree. I think it plays into the hands of those who are trying to stoke a civil war. Like I said, I don't know if they'll be successful or not. I don't personally want a civil war.
No,
Right. I don't think that we need to fall into their traps. And we know we're dealing with a out of control legal system, a two-tier legal system, will prosecute the good guys, like I said, and exonerate the bad guys. So why would you, if you are a good guy, why would you want to give them that chance?
Absolutely. Let's go to Dick in Maryland. We always appreciate Dick's insight. Thanks for calling in today, Dick.
Yeah, Brandon and Leo, you guys have – there are people that have bad blood. The conversation earlier was about bad blood between the one department and the prosecutor. You've got an article from Zero Hedge, the impact of Soros-funded district attorneys. So this is really appropriate. Soros has been spending billions of dollars to put people at the local and state attorney general levels, state prosecutors that are basically – woke, unprepared for their job, but blessed by George Soros. Those are the people that would do the kind of injustice that we heard about with the two police, the police officer. God forbid Leo Holman or Brandon House is in a courtroom and you've got one of these Soros-funded prosecutors on the other side.
Well, that brings us to the point, Dick. At what point do the American people start saying we're not going into court, that this is a communist system, we're not acknowledging it? By going to court, you're giving credence to a communist court and a communist system, and we're not we no longer recognize you. I mean, this is part of the Declaration of Independence. We do not have to go along, we do not have to comply, and we will not put ourselves in your kangaroo court, because to do so is to give credence to your kangaroo communist Marxist George Soros globalist court, and we're not going to do that.
100%, and Dick brings up a great issue right there, because in fact, I read in an article just this morning that the governor of Pennsylvania has come out and said that he will prosecute, he will not hesitate to prosecute people under the red flag laws who put things that he doesn't like on social media.
Again, this goes back to the fact that we don't have the FBI following the law. Look at all the things the FBI, the Justice Department, they've broken so many laws you can't keep count anymore. So you're really going to let these crackers, you know, prosecute you and comply with it? Not to mention Joe Biden saying that if the Supreme Court rules against Roe v. Wade, he's not going to obey the law either. We have sanctuary cities for illegals. So you got all kinds of district attorneys and mayors not obeying the law. They just choose the laws they obey. Why are we even bothering to acknowledge them and honor them and give credence to them when they are lawless and make up the laws as they go? Dick?
Well, I think people should think seriously about people that are trying to make things right by going through the lawsuits. They're going to sue people. I think that used to make sense. I'm not sure how much sense that makes. And rather than fund some of the good-sounding lawsuits to make things better, people need to spend that money to protect themselves, prepare for things that are going to come against them, and be prepared to get to take care of themselves, their own families, get close to God, et cetera. So I'm not sure lawsuits are effective anymore in America.
Dick, thank you. Let's go to Brad in Wisconsin, line two. Brad, go ahead, Brad.
Hey, Brandon. I don't want to go hunting for people. They're not good eating anyway. but the hunting thing, the Civil War thing precedent has already been set with BLM and Antifa and all their murders and burning of cities and preferential treatment by government officials. So the government officials really need to watch what they're doing, because there's a whole, as you say, there's a whole lot of us. And I, for one, am not going to put up with confiscations. You know that's in the offing. So we just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, that's exactly where we're at, and you can almost feel it, can't you? You can almost feel what's coming, unfortunately.
We need to be ready.
Yeah.
That's it.
Let's go to Sharon, line one. Sharon, thanks for calling in, Sharon.
Hi, just wanted to let you know, love your program, longtime listener, love you and your family, love Leo, love BCY. My comment is on the lady officer and her husband.
Yes, Darby.
I that story sounds so familiar. I believe I heard Brandon Tatum critique it on his website a while back, and he went like a play-by-play description of it. And I don't know if you could get a hold of that and watch that, because that would give you – it sounds so familiar. I don't know if it's the same scenario or not, but it certainly sounded like it.
Wow. Thank you for that, Sharon. Thank you for the kind words. Closing comments, Leo?
I would just advise everybody to be alert, stay very alert, keep your head on a swivel when you go out in public. You never know when one of these situations could play out right in front of your you or your family, and you need to act quickly and make the right decision.
Well, here's an article, 5 major cities on track to surpass 2021 homicide totals.
Yes.
Washington, D.C. is one of them, not shocked there. And guess what they have there? Strict gun laws. Los Angeles, another one, strict gun laws. Baltimore, Milwaukee, all these are liberal cities, strict gun laws. Atlanta, well, again, a lot of liberals, a lot of liberal mayors, a lot of the last line of mayors now going to the Biden regime. So a common theme here is you notice it's not the cities mostly in the South where you have a lot of gun rights, right, Leo?
Even the major cities in the South, those of more than 100,000 people, tend to be run by Democrats.
That's true. Nashville, they're destroying Nashville. All right, leohoman.com, leohoman.com. Thanks for listening, folks. Stay tuned for Crosstalk with Jim Schneider. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Hello, I'm Brannon House, and I cannot stress enough how important it is that you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend. Not only will you save up to 66% on sheets, towels, blankets, dog beds, pet beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins, and any of the 110-plus products. Not only will you save up to 66% on your purchase by using the very powerful promo code WVW, but did you know that with each purchase, a generous portion comes back to WVW Broadcast Network? Last year in 2021, we were able to replace all of our 12-year-old plus cameras. They were at least 12 years old. They were old HD cameras. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because you used the promo code WVW. That's how important it is. You may think, well, is it really that important? Yeah, it is. We wouldn't have, I don't think, the brand new cameras we have today if we had not had your support by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code WVW. Now, not only do we have to buy new equipment, maintain the equipment, but we have bandwidth bill. Every month, we pay thousands of dollars in storage and bandwidth so that you can watch the free TV shows at WVW. If you listen to the radio show for free, I have to pay for the bandwidth. The radio shows and TV shows are free for you to watch, but I have to pay for the bandwidth. How do we cover that bill? One way is by those of you that go to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVW. Will you do that right now? Will you do me another favor? Will you ask your family and friends to go to MyPillow.com? Look, we all need sheets, towels, blankets, comforters, dog beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins. You're not only supporting a great company and the work of Mike Lindell, you're also supporting the free radio and TV shows at WVW Broadcast Network. I really need you to go there right now. Please, don't delay. Go right now to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. This is a great way for you to support our work and get something in return. Please do it right now. MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. Thank you.